The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, happy Valentine's Day. How are you?
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, good, thank you. What is this? Don't call me sexist, Howard. I think you're being very sexist. And I don't think it's a male-female thing at all, actually.
Really?
Because I'm very pro-PDA. Absolutely. Why should you not be? And I think that a lot of people get very surprised when they come to Israel to see how much PDA actually goes on here. At all kinds of levels and at all ages. I mean, you know, it would be very common for high school kids to kind of hug and kiss on the cheeks when they meet up in the morning, you know, something that you don't necessarily find in other parts of the world. And, you know, you often find boys doing a bit of PDA between themselves, even though they're not quite like that, but like a hug and
although,
whatever, how you're doing in the street. I think that's PDA, isn't it?
Well, my focus on PDA this morning is not that. It is on a romantic relationship and how public your display of affection is within a romantic relationship, not people showing affection for each other as friends. That I think is a bit of a different subject, because that isn't about the display. It's not about the visuals. It's about the feeling and just about the warmth of that. So I'm quite comfortable with that. It's the romantic side where I find where you get an insight into an intimacy of a couple that makes me feel a little uncomfortable. That's, I think,
Well, maybe it's also about the age of the relationship. You know, when you're newly kind of together, you know, it seems to be something that you're more inclined to do rather than, you know, old married couples, dare I say, like ourselves, Howard.
We're not an old married couple, me and you. What do you mean?
Well, we are. Maybe not with each other.
Right, that is also fairly true.
Know, we kind of fit the definition, I think, right?
I think you're quite right about that, sadly, whether we like it or not. All right, let's move on to things Israel. A recount of Likud's primary votes has promoted Gideon Sa'ar, promoted Gideon Sa'ar on the list by one position. What is going on here?
Well, this is a very sad situation that relates to the Likud primaries that took place last week. There were suspicions of shenanigans going on in the votes when it became apparent that one Likud member received more votes in a particular location than there actually were voters in that location at a particular polling station. And so this kind of put the red flags up, and a whole recount of all of the votes were demanded for particular polling booths. And the result was that the first five people on the list, which is really where all the focus is, remain the same names. None of them have changed. Nobody's dropped down or dropped into the top five. But Gideon Sa'ar has swapped places with Gilad Erdan. And, of course, we remember that Gideon Sa'ar is Prime Minister Netanyahu's nemesis in the Likud list. He is the one who's really the pretender to the crown, who's openly challenging Netanyahu to the leadership of the Likud. And so he's been promoted up a position. What does this mean? Really nothing at all. These guys were going to be in the Knesset anyway. They will still be in the Knesset. There's really no substantial change, but it's kind of, it just has a bad taste about it. Why would there be, discrepancies in the polling stations? Why would there be people voting who are not entitled to vote? This kind of has a bad taste about our democracy, and it's not okay. But the good news is that it doesn't affect the result in any significant way at all.
Yeah, but concerning nevertheless. Prime Minister Netanyahu is due to give a speech at the Middle East Conference in Warsaw today. Tell us what's the update from that region.
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu will be in Warsaw today. He will give his speech. We remember that this is the conference on Middle East peace and security. It's being attended by over 60 countries. Including a number of Middle Eastern countries with whom Israel does not have diplomatic relations, and I think that that's really where the key interest areas are. The U.S. will also have Vice President Mike Pence there, and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Prime Minister Netanyahu will be due to meet both of them today. He has also met the Omani foreign minister. We already know that there have been budding relations between Israel and Oman. And who knows whether Prime Minister Netanyahu may well be meeting representatives of other Arab countries and European countries, but particularly Arab countries with whom Israel currently doesn't have diplomatic relations. And Prime Minister Netanyahu's stated objective at this conference is to try somehow to gather support for his anti-Iran position, particularly amongst those countries in the Middle East. So he feels that they should feel equally as threatened as Israel does by the things that are going on in Iran, and particularly the Iranian nuclear program, which threatens not only countries in the Middle East, but indeed further afield. And we've heard some reports coming out of the U.S. today that even as far as back, far back as President George Bush Jr., that George W. Bush, that even during his period as president, the U.S. was very, very active in disrupting the development program for Iranian missiles and nuclear missiles as well. So apparently the U.S. has been active in that particular role to try somehow to retard the development of Iranian missiles that could potentially threaten not only the United States, but indeed countries nearer afield to Iran. So yeah, the objective for Prime Minister Netanyahu today is to somehow gather more support against Iran from countries within the Middle East, and of course those European countries who are represented, all the EU countries are represented at this conference. And we do know that the European Union countries as a general rule have a somewhat ambivalent position with Iran, even though there have been threats from Iranian sources on the European continent, security threats which have been openly acknowledged. And the European countries nevertheless still find it appropriate to continue to support that nuclear agreement that they have with Iran. So that seems to be the stated objective today. The Prime Minister apparently will return to Israel before Shabbat, and he's actually due to return back later today, perhaps this evening, in order to get back into the whole election campaign that obviously is now foremost on his mind, or at least one of the foremost issues on his mind right now, ahead of that April general election. So we will be watching with interest to see how the Prime Minister's presentation at the conference goes down today, and of course what transpires from the various meetings that he's due to have around the edges of the conference.
What was also interesting was that I saw a couple of comments about the Saudi Arabian, saying, look, we're not going to progress with Israel until there is more progress with the peace talks.
So the whole Saudi Arabian situation is a little bit confusing because there is, you know, headlines in this morning's newspapers in Israel about a Saudi prince who has accused Israel of ignoring the Saudi efforts to make peace. And we do know that Saudi Arabia has put forward its own version of a peace plan, which we understand now was actually quite seriously discussed even at the level of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is reported to have met with Saudi officials to discuss it. So this was apparently quite a serious issue, and yet it hasn't progressed any further. And I think that the Saudis are feeling a little bit sore about the fact that their peace plan hasn't gone anywhere, and that they're trying really to continue to promote this. So I think that they're very much sticking to their peace plan in order to try somehow to resurrect it, that it might be an appropriate platform to move forward. And until such time that, you know, from what the reports are that I've read, the reason that the Saudi plan hasn't gone anywhere is because of Israel, because Israel has somehow found substantial problems within the peace plan that they cannot live with. And this has really put a stop to the Saudi developments. And so I think that the Saudis are now looking to Israel to lift that position, to lighten their position a little bit, and to potentially allow that peace plan to move forward. But we do know that even though there is this kind of tenuousness going on between Saudi and Israel on the issue of the peace plan, in other areas, there's a lot of cooperation. And the Saudis, amongst all of those in the Middle East, are the ones who really feel the threat of Iran more than probably anybody else. And so I think that they certainly are a partner in supporting Israel's position against Iran. And I think that that's not going to change in spite of what went on with their peace plan.
Absolutely fascinating. Finally, details of how much the Palestinian Authority has paid terrorists during 2018 has now been made public. How much was paid, Anthony?
Wow, this is really, really crazy stuff. I mean, this is a report by Palestinian Media Watch, and this is a non-governmental organization that's based in Israel. But according to what I've read, the report is actually based on information that comes from the B'Tselem organization, which is a very well-known, very left-wing Israeli organization that really promotes the well-being and the rights of the Palestinians in general, and also is based on information that comes from the Palestinian Authority itself, along with the Shin Bet. The numbers are quite astonishing. I mean, the headline number is that the Palestinian Authority allocated 1.2 billion shekels to its annual budget for rewarding terrorists and for rewarding people wounded or killed in terror and non-terror but related incidents. 1.2 billion shekels. That is not an insubstantial sum of money. You know, we're talking about $400 million or that sort of order of magnitude. This is a large sum of money. And when you have a look at how it's kind of divided up, then, you know, it becomes apparent exactly what's going on below the surface. And for example, the Palestinian Media Watch calculated that the Palestinian Authority spent during 2018 at least 230 million shekels on payments that were made to families of dead terrorists. Okay, so that's just like the headline. And then another 500 million shekels was used to pay prisoners and release prisoners. Mm-hmm. So if you go to prison for terror-related incidents and get imprisoned by Israel, you are going to be on the payroll. And you know, the numbers, apparently 6,000 shekels is being paid monthly to gets paid immediately to families of the Shahid people who have been killed in terror-related incidents. They get immediately 6,000 shekels, and then they get 1,400 shekels per month for life. And then there are additional, like, it's almost like a social welfare kind of situation, where you get 400 shekels a month extra for the wife and 200 shekels a month extra per child, and you get 300 shekels a month extra if the terrorist happened to be a resident of Jerusalem. And if they were an Israeli resident, then they get also another 300 shekels a month. So there's a whole kind of tiered system that operates, which rewards people for carrying out terror attacks, for being killed, for being injured, for their families, for going to prison. It's quite an astonishing thing. It's a social welfare system within its own right.
It's absolutely bizarre. You know, it is just one of the most ludicrous things, and it's not even taken. I mean, of course, it's not taken up by anyone outside of the Israel support community. But the concept of paying terrorists and paying people who have attacked civilians and who have murdered women and children and babies, the concept of it is so vile that it's even hard to just imagine.
Well, you see, and I mean, you know, we have to be grateful to President Trump for cutting off the funding from the United States to the Palestinian Authority because of this, because what he's saying is that, you know, we are funding the Palestinian Authority, and in effect what's happening to $400 million worth of their funding is that it's effectively going to pay terrorists. So you could almost say that, you know, U.S. money is being used to fund terror activities. That's the way that one could quite easily interpret this. But it is very, very bizarre. And I don't see it changing anytime soon. In other words, you know, the fact that the U.S. might have cut off the funding, I don't think changes the fact that this will be paid out anyway. So the question is, what can be done to change the whole system, to change the way in which business is being done here? Because while the Palestinian Authority continues to fund these terror activities, the message that goes out to the younger generation is very, very clear. And until that changes, There cannot be peace in this part of the world. Unfortunately, that's the way that I see things.
I don't disagree. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it. You have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we will certainly catch you on Monday.
Take care. Shabbat Shalom.